The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Legislation to allow some jurisdictions in California to establish supervised consumption sites, otherwise known as overdose prevention centers, is advancing in the California State Legislature. The Assembly's Public Safety Committee considered the bill on June 1st. Here's the bill's lead sponsor, Senator Scott Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Colleagues, SB 57 is a voluntary pilot program authorizing San Francisco, the City of Los Angeles, the County of Los Angeles, and Oakland, if they choose, to pilot safe consumption sites. To be clear, no city or county is required under this bill to establish safe consumption sites. They are simply authorized to do so. This is a local control, local decision-making bill. Also, to be clear, each of the four jurisdictions included in this bill has officially asked us to be included in the bill, has asked us for this authorization. With a unanimous vote by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, a unanimous vote by the Oakland City Council, a unanimous vote bipartisan by the LA County Board of Supervisors, and a 14-to-1 vote by the LA City Council. So these cities are asking us to help them to address the escalation and crisis of overdose deaths that we're experiencing in California and beyond. We know that we are experiencing a crisis of overdose deaths, and these are preventable. What safe consumption sites do, and they have been around for about 30 years around the world, in Europe, in Canada, and Australia, and more recently in New York City, is they allow people who are already using drugs, often on our streets, on our sidewalks, in front of people's homes or businesses where people, including children, can see them using drugs, allows them to go inside to a safe and clean space where they can bring the drugs that they were already going to use and use it in an environment where we make sure that they have clean needles, where there is supervision, so if someone overdoses, the overdose can be quickly reversed, and where we can connect people to services, and ultimately, for a significant percentage of people, into recovery services. These sites have been extensively studied, including with various peer-reviewed studies, showing that they reduce overdose deaths, and we know in the recent New York City safe consumption site that opened, they've already reversed a number of overdoses that likely could have resulted in death had they not been in those spaces. We know that around the world, in the approximately 30 years these sites have been in place, we're unaware of a single overdose death. Not one or two, zero. Because they've been able to reverse those overdose deaths, and a percentage of those people would have died had they not been in a safe consumption site. These sites reduce hepatitis and HIV infections. They reduce syringe litter. And contrary to some of the claims that we hear, they do not increase crime. We know that, and this is in the very excellent analysis on page 5, talking about the NIH and the CDC did an analysis just last year. And it says, as you can read here, the preponderance of the evidence suggests these sites are able to provide sterile equipment, overdose reversal, and linkage to medical care for addiction in the virtual absence of significant risk, direct risks like increased drug use, drug sales, or crime. And we're seeing the federal government even, imagine that, the U.S. federal government start to warm up to this approach. So this is not some new, untested strategy. This is a strategy that's been around for a long time. We know it works. We know it saves lives. We know that our local communities are literally formally asking us to give them permission to pilot these in California to save lives. And I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
That was Scott Wiener, lead sponsor of SB 57, which would allow some jurisdictions in California to establish overdose prevention sites. Also testifying at this hearing were Witka Eisen, President and Chief Executive Officer of HealthRight 360, a healthcare provider for very low-income and otherwise marginalized Californians, and David Kahn, MD, past President of the California Society of Addiction Medicine and Chief Medical Officer of Bright Heart Health.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me here today. Again, my name is Witka Eisen, and I am the CEO for HealthRight 360. We're a treatment organization providing substance use disorder treatment to low-income Californians based in San Francisco. We operate in 10 counties, and I'm also here representing the largest provider association, representing most of the treatment providers who provide services to the Medi-Cal population, substance use services in California. I'm also a former injection heroin user, and it came to recovery through the public treatment system in California. And I have over 30 years' experience in the field of treatment. Those of us who work in treatment remain forever committed to high-quality treatment for people who use drugs. And we're fortunate to operate in a state that expanded treatment via the drug Medi-Cal treatment service delivery system. But experience shows that some people do not make it through treatment. In fact, on average, the average person who goes through treatment, it takes about six different treatment episodes to have a period of long-lasting recovery. So in the face of an overwhelming crisis of death, when people leave treatment prematurely, they risk death. And that is a new circumstance that can be attributed to the tainted toxic drug supply currently. So we must do something different. We cannot do the same things. Now, our opponents will tell you we should be investing in treatment instead of this. But I say that's a false, we say that that is a false dichotomy, that this is a way of keeping people engaged so that they can enter or re-enter treatment. We remain committed to treatment. Dead people do not have an opportunity at recovery. Our opponents will also say, they will cite some research, so-called research, that says in one community in Canada, it didn't reduce syringe litter. It's not a validated research piece. It's an opinion piece. So it isn't research that's peer-reviewed or in any academic peer-reviewed journal. Our opponents will say overdose rates continue to go up, even in places where they have supervised consumption services. And again, I will say that is attributed to the toxic, tainted drug supply currently. And in places where they have supervised drug consumption, literally thousands and thousands of lives have been saved because they have these services. This is not a panacea, but in the face of a crisis, we must do things different. And finally, they will say we must fall back on tough love, that we are coddling people who use drugs. Well, let me tell you, as somebody who's worked in this field for so long, that the people who are using drugs in our communities today, the people who are not in treatment, are living in a place of abject misery. We cannot make them more miserable. This will not drive them to treatment, and we cannot incarcerate our way out of this. That is a demonstrably failed policy that resulted in devastating impacts to Black and brown communities and mass incarceration in California and in this country. So that's not new policy. That's old, bad history. The only antidote currently that we believe to addiction is connection. We ask you to listen to the research, listen to reason, listen to decades of experience. Be brave. Remember that needle exchanges were once renegade policy that we did in the face of the HIV crisis. We ask you to do so again. Please support this bill and let us save some lives.
Thank you. Was there another witness?
Dr. Kahn, who's on the phone.
On the phone. Operator?
Hello. Hello, this is Dr. David Kahn. I am the past president of California Society of Addiction Medicine, and we represent the voice of treatment. We are proud co-sponsors of SB 57 because, well, we recognize that people with substance use disorder takes time to change, and the participants within these programs are the participants that we want within the CSAM treatment setting. However, the risk of fatal overdose is extremely high, as Witka Eisen told you. These programs offer unique opportunity to engage people where they are, And the demonstrable evidence is that it increases the rates of treatment access. Participants within the program, there have been literally millions of doses administered in similar programs across the world, and there's not been a single overdose to date. And I think one of the most promising pieces is that the likelihood of entering treatment because you participate in this program goes up by a full 30%. So with that, I strongly urge your I vote, as CTAM is a strongly support because it helps to treat the people that we want to be treating over time. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Witka Eisen, President and Chief Executive Officer of HealthRight 360, and Dr. David Kahn, past President of the California Society of Addiction Medicine. They were testifying before the Public Safety Committee of the California Assembly in support of SB 57, a bill to allow certain municipalities to open supervised consumption sites, otherwise known as overdose prevention centers. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. There were a number of organizations and individuals there to support SB 57. Let's hear some of those.
And any witnesses in the hearing room in support, name and organization, please.
Good morning. Glenn Backus for the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights. I was asked by these organizations to enter their name into the record. Face to Face, Fair Chance Project, Friends Committee on Legislation of California, HIV and Education Prevention Project of Alameda County, Home Rise, Initiate Justice, Larkin Street Youth Services, Los Angeles LGBT Center, and National Harm Reduction Coalition. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Laura Thomas, on behalf of the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, and was also asked to read these names into the record. As supporters, A New Path, Parents for Addiction Treatment and Healing, Asian American Drug Abuse Program, Inc., ACLU California Action, APLA Health, California Hepatitis Alliance, CALHEP, California Public Defenders Association, Community Clinic Association of Los Angeles County, Community Forward San Francisco, Compass Family Services, and Central Valley Recovery Services, all in support. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. Wesley Saver on behalf of GLIDE, also speaking on behalf of Moms for All Paths to Recovery from Addiction, Recovery Advocacy Project, Safer Inside Coalition, San Francisco Department of Public Health, San Francisco Hepatitis C Task Force, San Francisco Public Defender's Office, San Francisco Treatment on Demand Coalition, Smart Justice California, Tenderloin Neighborhood Development Corporation, the GEO Group, and the Gubbio Project. Thank you.
Chairperson and committee members, Niccolo De Luca here on behalf of the Oakland Mayor, Libby Schaff, and the Oakland City Council, in strong support and appreciate being part of this pilot program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Carlos Gutierrez on behalf of the California Consortium of Programs, of Addiction Programs and Professionals, in support.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Tyler Rindy on behalf of the California Association of Alcohol and Drug Program Executives as a proud co-sponsor in support. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Karen Lang on behalf of San Francisco Mayor London Braden, strong support this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, Dan Filizzotto on behalf of the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office in support.
Good morning, Chair and members. Ed Little on behalf of Californians for Safety and Justice and Time Done in support.
Thank you.
Good morning. Gary McCoy on behalf of HealthRight 360 in strong support.
Thank you. We'll now go to the phone lines for witnesses in support.
Thank you. If not already done so, for witnesses in support of SB 57, please press 1 then 0. Line 105, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, Sylvia Solis Shaw on behalf of the City of Los Angeles in strong support. Thank you.
Line 111, please go ahead.
Good morning. Rebecca Gonzalez with the National Association of Social Workers California Chapter in strong support.
Line 113, please go ahead.
Kara Gamboa Eastman with the Steinberg Institute in strong support.
Line 106, please go ahead.
Hello, my name is Jessica Smith. I'm the Capacity Building Manager with National Harm Reduction Coalition, and we are calling in a strong support.
Line 115, please go ahead.
Mr. Chair,
Chair and members, Rob Lane with the California Council of Community Behavioral Health Agencies in support.
Line 103, please go ahead.
Good morning, Chair and Committee. My name is Soma from Los Angeles. I'm calling in strong support of SB 57 on behalf of the Sidewalk Project. Thank you.
Line 107, please go ahead.
Ophelia Spaghetti on behalf of the County Behavioral Health Directors Association in support.
Line 117, please go ahead.
I am Doma Palacios, calling in strong support for SB 57 on behalf of Drug Policy Alliance, Tartana Treatment Centers, Los Angeles LGBT Center, Rainbow Pride Youth Alliance, West Care California, Inc., Shanti, and Center for Living and Learning. Thank you.
Line 78, please go ahead.
Can I just open everything up?
Hi, I'm Heaven Spector. I'm calling from Van Nuys, Los Angeles area, calling on behalf of the Center for Living and Learning. We are strongly supporting Prop SB 57. Thank you.
Before the committee voted on SB 57, the lead sponsor, Senator Scott Wiener, testified once again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, colleagues, pro and con, for the dialogue. One thing I think I want to be very clear about, at no point have I or anyone else that I'm aware of said that this is like a silver bullet. If we do this, the addiction overdose crisis is going to be over. I've never said that. This is one additional tool among many other tools. And to suggest that a tool has to solve the entire problem to use it, that's just not how the real world works. This is a tool that we know from experience in other cities has real benefits. It's not the only thing we should be doing. Of course we should be increasing treatment, absolutely. But this is one way to help keep people safe and to actually help people get into treatments. And thank you, some of you were quirk for pointing out that, you know, to march in here and say that over the 18 years that a safe consumption site has been in effect, overdoses went up, when we know what happened over that time with synthetic opioids, that's really just, nothing shocks me anymore, but that sort of shocks me that someone would come in here and say and then blame the site for that. And the idea that you would criticize this by saying not enough people are using it, I'm glad to hear that you want more people to use it, but to criticize this by saying not enough people are going to use it, well, that's a challenge to these cities to say, let's find ways to make sure people who are using know about these sites and can access them so we can help get them into recovery and so we can prevent them from dying. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
And I want to, you know, when this first was brought to me several years ago by one of my colleagues from San Jose, I was very apprehensive, and I probably was one of the impediments to even getting this to this stage. Since then, I've learned a lot. The reason you see so much passion from Mr. Santiago, because he used to represent, well, he still represents Skid Row. I will be representing Skid Row next year, and so we both have a vested interest in a community that's been impacted by drug use. I will say from a personal level, I've had an uncle and a cousin die in San Francisco of a drug overdose. One became a drug counselor, but the demons just took over, and eventually he succumbed to heroin. And we went through that. We're going to do tough love. And I watched both of my relatives die in the street. And so tough love didn't work either. But I do remember my cousin saying, because he got into the treatment business, because he was able to relate to other addicts, he was really proud that he saved a lot of people. But there weren't enough, and this is in the 80s, there weren't enough facilities to go ahead and help. I love the fact this is voluntary. I believe that the county of Los Angeles and former colleagues of ours who are there now will take the advice of what I'm hearing from the opponents and take all that information and put it into a program that will work. I mean, there was suggestion that we wait until we come up with the perfect legislation. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll say it again today. It's never legislation. It's implementation. It's what the counties do. We can come up with what we think is the best legislation in the world. If it's not implemented right, then it's a failure. I have 100% confidence that LA County will get it right. I've talked to a former colleague who was up here yesterday, who now has a job in the city of San Francisco. And he told me this should happen, and we should give San Francisco an opportunity to move forward with that. And so on the advice of people who will have to live with it, my county, your county, I'm going to say that we need to go ahead and try something new. And we need to go ahead and make sure we listen to the opponents, make sure that all that information gets down to the local levels of the ones that want to do this. That's the key to me. If you voluntarily want to do this, knowing all of the headaches, impediments, the trouble, and Mr. Santiago can tell you it is a struggle in Skid Row. You can tell us it's a struggle in the Tenderloin. The fact that a governmental agency wants to actively make this happen is huge. And we should not get in their way. We should give them an opportunity. And so I think there's enough information just in this discussion to say not only should we move ahead with these pilot programs, but we should make sure they have all the information that was just said today and then some so that we can have the best outcomes from all of these injection sites. So the chair is recommending an aye vote.
On SB 57 by Senator Wiener, the motion is do pass. Jones Sawyer.
Aye.
Jones Sawyer, aye. Lackey.
No.
Lackey, no. Bonta.
Aye.
Bonta, aye. Brian.
Aye.
Brian, aye. Quirk.
Aye.
Quirk, aye. Santiago. Santiago, aye. Sayarto.
No.
Sayarto, no.
That measure passes.
Thank you, colleagues.
You're welcome.
That was Assemblymember Reginald Byron Jones Sawyer, Sr., Chair of the Public Safety Committee. He was preceded by Senator Scott Wiener. And as you just heard, the Assembly's Public Safety Committee approved the measure with a do-pass recommendation, sending SB 57 to the full Assembly. On June 2nd, SB 57 made it through its second reading and was ordered to a third reading. We'll keep you up to date on SB 57 as it progresses through the California legislature, so be sure to keep tuning in. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Loyal listeners will recall that the Canadian Parliament has been considering legislation to decriminalize simple possession of drugs, Bill C-216, the Health-Based Approach to Substance Use Act. Bill C-216 was on its second reading in the House of Commons, and on June 1st, it did not clear that hurdle, did not complete its second reading, so Bill C-216 will not be moving forward in the Canadian Parliament this session. The organization Moms Stop the Harm held their conference and annual general meeting recently. One of the speakers was Donald McPherson. He's an acclaimed human rights advocate and the founding executive director of the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition.
So political risk. I just want to talk about that for a minute. Political risk. In Vancouver, as much as Vancouver has done and sort of the Philip Owen era of Vancouver and the Four Pillars and all that sort of stuff, the one thing we did do for a period of time, and I don't know how long it will last, is that we inverted the political risk. If you were running for mayor after Philip Owen and you opposed, after Larry Campbell, if you opposed Insight, you can't be mayor. No, you can't be. I mean, no one's done it yet. No one's really ran on an anti-harm reduction platform here. It happens all over the country, everywhere. It might happen this fall. Who knows? Because we're at a point where everyone's saying, gee, harm reduction isn't working. Well, of course, harm reduction isn't working. It wasn't meant to launder the whole drug supply and make it pure again. No, harm reduction is about, it's the last stop on the bus, trying to keep people alive who are using the toxic drug market. So we've been through. I got involved. Harm reduction caused the HIV epidemic. That was what was going on when I got involved. And one of the reasons I got involved, because the White House was here in Vancouver. Well, I mean, not in here in New West, but in Vancouver, looking at the statistics, that, well, you guys have the biggest needle exchange in the continent, and you have a big HIV epidemic. Must be because you have a big needle exchange. And that was a narrative that had to be undone. No, it was because people at really high risk of HIV tend to be people who use needle exchanges. So it just doesn't, we lose the narrative very quickly. And I think we're all aware of that. You know, there's this sense of, in British Columbia, we're doing all of this innovative stuff, and some of it really is innovative and cutting edge. But people come to Vancouver and say, yeah, this is success. Look at how many people are dying, and look at the streets of the downtown east side. It's really not the same story that we had from the early days when we went to Frankfurt and Switzerland and, you know, Zurich and other cities where we could show a picture of a beautiful park where there was this needle park, it used to be called, where people from all over Switzerland came and all over Europe came and used drugs, wide open drug scene. And then a number of years later, after the Swiss did a whole bunch of different things, it's a pristine park. And so there was this sort of overselling of what the impact of harm reduction would be in Canada, partly because we never actually implemented the same level of harm reduction as they did in the European context. In the European context, they had a problem this big and they implemented a program, you know, this big. In Vancouver, we had a problem this big and we implemented a program this big. And that's always been the problem here, getting past the first one, getting things scaled up, really getting that big investment that's needed to have a comprehensive approach. We talk a lot about a comprehensive approach. We had one little safe injection site for, 10 years, 12 years before another one came along. I mean, if you don't count the Dr. Peter Center, which was illegal for all those years. So the burden of proof is always on harm reduction services to solve all of the problems in a community and get blamed for problems that aren't solved, as opposed to the fact that we have a transnational, highly organized, 24/7 toxic drug market going on globally, certainly in North America. And the power of that and the reach of that just outstrips any kind of service we can implement, or drug checking protocols. It's just a reality that, you know, the cartels, the mafias, it's a huge industry right here in River City. We're not going to solve that if we don't make a concerted effort to go to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is the prohibition.
That was Donald McPherson, Executive Director of the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition, speaking at the Moms Stop the Harm conference that was held recently up in Vancouver and online. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy reform and the failed war on drugs. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.